Faith, hope, and love will win the prize. Ephesians 1:9-14. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. This believing in Christ is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised. So, we have an assurance, a confidence that God will do the things he has promised to do. We have a belief that God will do all the things he has promised to do, even though we can't see them. When we have this kind of attitude and belief, God is pleased with us. God looks at the world of 6 billion people. Then he looks at the few people who say, I believe, I am dust and ashes. I believe I'm not worthy of those things you have promised. I believe you have provided salvation, which is something I couldn't do myself. And I believe you will do all you have promised to do. And God is pleased with that person. Look at a person who has a complete conviction that God is, and that God will do all the things he said, and that God will do all the things that are outside our capacity to achieve and do. God looks at some of the 6 billion people who say, I really believe you have the power to do everything. You say, I believe I cannot do those things, and that I am not worthy, consideration at all. What does God think of that person? God does not through faith create a humble and contrite spirit? Can he not work with that person? This person is assured in their mind, who is convinced that God really is. And that kind of faith produces something in a person's life. Now, God just doesn't limit it to that. Is it not good enough to believe that he is? One needs to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God says, my people who are clay, who are nothing without me, I will mould them. I will give them hope. I will tell them what they can expect from life, and not only now, but what I will do that they cannot do, that they cannot influence, they cannot change or produce. And so, God knows that sin-prone man, subject to the vanity of life, needs that. Now, with faith and hope in the heart of man, the love that can be produced from God, being that, is the love that God wants. Not the kind of love that is forced by law and observance, and that's why so many fail, because they don't believe that God is, even though they testify it. They can define God and state all his characteristics, but they still don't believe that he is. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It is a continuous process of life. It involves meditation. It involves looking into the word to see the heart and mind of God, to see what God's about, and to see how God does things. Whereas the generations through the history of the Bible, they have seen his acts, they have repeated his words, but they have not seen his ways. David could see a merciful and a gracious God, a God with an abundance in truth, and a God who would pardon iniquity. It impressed David so much that it changed his whole attitude to life, and it changed his attitude to other people. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not without knowledge, not without understanding, but without faith. And knowledge and understanding is the basis of that. All the things we read in the scriptures are to convince us that he is. And we must be convinced right through life, because we can be convinced now, but not convinced in a few months' time. Now, what do we have to do to have faith? In faith, we have faith in Christ, and we have faith in his blood. In other words, we believe that his life was absolutely essential for us to receive forgiveness for our sins and have the hope of eternal life. We believe that his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, not our blood, but his blood, has made all things possible for us. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe in God. We don't find in the Bible that we believe in ourselves. Completely the opposite in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, trust not in ourselves. We only find in the Bible a belief in things that are outside of the human race. They are a belief in things that we cannot influence, we cannot do, and is beyond our scope. We believe in those things that God can do, which we cannot. So it is looking into those things so that God can create a humble and contrite spirit in us, so that we know our true estate, so that we can glory in our God of power and a God who has done all things, and that will produce in us a different person. It's not hard, brothers and sisters. It's not hard at all. And if we meditate upon the scriptures, we will want to seek our God. We will want to find out about him. We will want to love all the things that he represents and is and says he will do, because we know what he has done and we know what he has achieved. It's not difficult. It's not difficult at all. With this kind of faith, it results in obedience. Faith is the cause of it. What God is looking for is the obedience of faith, an obedience that comes out of that faith and that believes that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who faithfully seek him. God wants an obedience that comes out of a faith that knows and understands that God does, and he will do the things that are outside our ability, and that touches the heart. That's the difference between all those failures in the scriptures through the history of time. It establishes the law, not as a set of rituals, but faith shows how the law was designed to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. Faith results in the accounting of righteousness to us. God is prepared to account us righteous because of what we believe about him and what we believe he has done and achieved. God says, "I will account righteousness to that person because of that kind of faith." Will work outward in itself. Because that kind of faith elevates me. That kind of faith puts its whole trust in what I have done, what I am doing, and what I will do. Let us turn together Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This is showing that Jews and Gentiles are acceptable to God, and their acceptance is on the basis of faith, not on the basis of the observance of any law, whether it be the law of Moses or any human law, or on the basis of self-willed love toward others. It is on the basis of faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. What has Abraham got to do when it comes to looking at his flesh, looking at himself and his own achievements? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If Abraham wants to boast about his capability, then don't do it before God, because God is not interested. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now let's go back to verse 15, Genesis 15. What was it that Abraham believed? What was it that he believed that enabled God to account him righteous? Genesis 15, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5. And he brought Abraham forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he stood and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here God told Abraham to look up into the sky and see the stars. And God said that it is going to be your seed. So, brethren and sisters, God counted him for righteousness because Abraham is saying to God, I can't do it. It is outside my capabilities, but I believe and trust and am convinced that you will do it. I have absolute confidence and assurance in what you say and what you do. And Abraham said, and God said, Abraham, because of that kind of faith and trust, that belief, I will account you righteous before me. God knew that this man would bring up his family in his way. He knew the heart of this man. And it's because of that faith, brothers and sisters, that Abraham, some years later, was able to offer up Isaac, his son. It was because of that kind of trust in God. He had absolute trust that God would do for him what he could not do for himself. It was that kind of faith that drove Abraham to offer Isaac. We all knew an angel of God stopped Abraham from slaying Isaac. But doesn't that show why he was called a friend of God? Because he had such a conviction, and that his God really was, and that doesn't come from just words. Let's go back to Romans 4 and verse 13. Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let's go back to verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. And it is that kind of faith, brothers and sisters, that will drive us. And it is all because of our understanding of God and the kind of God he is. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he was about 100 years old, and Sarah was past her childbearing age by a lot of years, he knew that it was only by God's power he would have an heir. What did he do? He believed God would make it happen. He believed and trusted in God to do what was impossible for him. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on God that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised for our justification. It is imputed to us too, because we believe that God has done that God has done in Christ which we could not do. We believe it was impossible for man to achieve what Christ did. And we believe it in it, and in God will do also impute righteousness to in us, because God knows that we know what he has done for us, and we believe and trust in God. Is our faith different to Abraham's faith, brothers and sisters? Do we not believe in the things that God will do outside of the redemption of Christ? Do we not believe that this world will completely and totally change, so it becomes a world full of righteousness and truth and goodliness? We can't do that. We can't achieve that. It is not in our power, but God will do it. Can we see it? Can we touch it? Can we feel it? Do we believe it and trust him to do it? Oh, yes, we do. We say we do. We believe God will do all of those things he says. Why? Because God has the power, the wisdom, and the right, and the will to do it. And we love him because we know he will do it. And we trust him because we are convinced he will do it. And that, brothers and sisters, is faith. That is the faith of Abraham. It hasn't changed. Imagine Mary, when the angel came to her and said, "Mary, you are going to have a child." Mary knew that in human terms it was impossible. But Mary said, "I believe that you will do that which is outside the capability of men, and I will have a son." Her faith was not one bit different to Abraham's, and neither has the faith of anybody else who finds acceptance before God and Christ. Now, it is that kind of faith that brings about the change in people, a belief and a trust in God. It gives us a complete assurance that he will achieve what he says, and that produces in us a humble and contrite spirit. It produces a gratitude, a thankfulness, as we realize what God is all about. It is a response of marvel as we think about the might of God, the power of God, the plan of God, his purpose, and the need of his son in the deliverance of us. We know he delivered himself from the mortal nature he had, but we also have a great need for him to deliver us. It is mercy when you see a need and you do something about that need. God saw a need for the redemption and forgiveness, so he satisfied that need in providing his son. He is a merciful God. He's not a sympathetic God who says, Oh, you've got a problem, and that's terrible, and I'm sorry for you, but I can't do anything about it. Oh, no way. That's not mercy. Our God is a merciful God. He solves the problem, not just states the problem. So obedience and good works progress out of faith. Faith affects the heart, outworks the character of God in justice, mercy, and truth. God is working in us to produce and show himself to others. The commandments of God are not fulfilled simply because they are commandments. They can only be fulfilled through faith, because faith is an attitude of mind created through belief and trust in God, which constrains a person. It constrains us and takes us over that we might willingly want to fulfill the counsel of God. How do we sustain faith? Faith is sustained under trials. Now, trials are important for faith to be tested. Trials that God brings on people are not to make people fail. They are to make a change in us. They're to make a change. That's the key word, they're changing us. The trials of life are there because God is trying to save us by changing us. The trials of life make us want the things God has said he will do. The trials are needful also to test our belief that God is, and whether we believe that he is going to accomplish those things he has said he is going to do with the earth, or whether we don't believe the things. The trials of life test us to look at our life. Will we always have trials? We can never take trials away. If that ever happened, we could not be changed. We cannot be saved without trials in our lives. Sometimes the power of some trials become so destructive in our lives when it is not balanced out by the equal importance of support we should be supplying one to another in the consolation of the hope that we share. Brother Lindsay last week talked of this type of thing, in forgiveness. And this forgiveness comes in 2 Corinthians 2 and 7. And this is a part of the trials and the forgiveness, how we look after each other. Now it is a time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become so discouraged that he will not be able to recover. Now show him that you still love him. I wrote to you as I did to find out how far you would go in obeying me. When you forgave this man, I forgave him too. And when I forgive him for whatever is to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. And when I forgive him for whatever is to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that sin will not outsmart us. So that sin will not outsmart us. If that is not there, the trials of life will destroy us. They'll destroy us. We've got to look after each other, or the trials will destroy us. So we must make an effort to concentrate our efforts on the truth and the hope that is in Christ and the things that God is going to achieve. We can only survive this hope and with this expectancy and hope. God knows we will go through trials, so he provided hope. He provided things to look forward to, things that will lift us above the things that have been endured, if we are to have ourselves changed. Faith will be lost if we don't have that hope. Don't let our trials overtake us. Hope in God is not a selfish thing. It has to be in our heart and mind, but it should be sent forth to others so others can see God. We can affect others, other people, whether we do nothing, do something, say nothing, say something. We do affect other people. Do we encourage other people? Do we support other people? Do we build other people? Did God encourage Abraham? Did God support Abraham? Did God build Abraham? We have an expectation and a confidence in what God will do. Without this hope and faith, it is meaningless. Thank you.